Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, November the 27th, 1983. The Lord bless as we worship together around the precious Word of God today.
Continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee that we are able to come back into thy house for worship. We thank thee, Lord, for the many blessings of life up to this present hour. We thank thee, Lord, for this church, for its every member. Thank thee for the pastor who strives so hard to preach the word here. We just pray that thou would endue him with power from on high. Lord, we pray today that thou would bless all those that are up on our sick list and bulletin here this morning, and there are others that need their prayers. We pray for them, Lord. We pray that thou would visit them in thine own way. But we pray, Lord, that thy will be done and not ours. So we pray, Father, that thou would go with us through the remainder of this service and lead us in our ever undertaking, and let the Holy Spirit be our guide in our lives. May we go out, our Father, and be better witnesses for thee. May we let our light shine, that lost people may see Christ through our Christian lives, that they may come to Christ before it's too late. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Appreciate this wonderful song. That third one there was happened to be my wife. She made a trio out of this song. It's a wonderful song. As I stood looking out over the Pacific Ocean one day, I thought of that song, The Love of God. If we with ink the ocean fill, it would drain the ocean dry. God loves us, and He has proven His love to us in many, many ways. Before we get into the message, let's give some prayer requests. We do want to continue to pray for Janetta's mom. I meant to ask you how she was doing. Let's continue to pray for her as she's in the hospital. We also want to continue to pray for Ms. Barker and Ms. Back, Brother Jerry's dad, Brother Combs' wife over in the nursing home. Continue to pray for Mrs. Maud Barker also there in the nursing home, and my mom. Let's be praying for Brother Tom's mother. Is she in the hospital yet, Tom? Just need to pray for her, and also Tom's nephew that we had in the bulletin a few weeks ago. Know the Lord's going to bless them and supply their needs. But also want to pray today for Ms. Lane's brother and nephew that we have here in the bulletin, Truby Kelly and George. Let's remember Ms. White's mom and dad, as well as these others enlisted here in the bulletin. We know that God's certainly able to bless. We want to pray for those today also that have lost loved ones. Let's remember John and Lucy Talby. We know that God's certainly able to bless in their lives. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank Thee so much today for loving us, and Lord, we thank Thee for bringing each one of us here today to this place of worship. Father, we know that You're certainly able to undertake for each of these that we have mentioned and others that we know, Lord, that are physically ill. Father, we'd also pray for those who are spiritually sick. Father, we know that You're certainly able to save to the uttermost those that come unto Thee through the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Father, we praise Your name today for this beautiful day You provided for us. We thank Thee, Lord, for this season of the year that we're entering into. We thank Thee for Jesus today, who though He was rich, became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. We just ask Your blessing, Lord, upon this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we'd like to turn to that passage that Brother Burns read for us in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through the end of the chapter. The Lord has impressed upon my heart today the shortness of life. Life is short at the longest. James says here in the 14th verse, what is your life? What is your life? Today the Bible gives us five or six things that it compares to our life, and we're going to look at those in the message today. On Friday morning, I was listening to the news and heard on the radio about two fellows who tried to swim across Buckhorn Lake. And one of them didn't make it. Friend, life is short. Life is fragile, and we need to handle it with care. We're only passing through this life once. That's all. There are no reruns. When this day is finished, the only way you and I are going to live this day over again is in memory. Now is the only time we have. So we need to try to pack into every day all that we can, because we're just going through one time. So we need to make preparations. we're going to take a final flight someday. The Gardener sang that song so beautifully. I'm taking a flight some wonderful day. Christ is my pilot. With Him I shall stay. We're going to take a flight. I don't know when it's going to be, but I trust every one of us here today can say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4 that I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I trust you're ready on this last Sunday of November. Hebrews 9:27 says it like this: And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I trust you're ready to meet the Lord. Ready to meet Him in peace. You can be ready today. On November 22, 1963, there was a man in Dallas, Texas. You know who he was. He was their president. And he had many appointments on his schedule for that day. And I'm sure as I'm standing before you this morning that death was not on his schedule. But it was on God's schedule. I was teaching at Napier High School. Someone ran down the hall and said, "Our president has been shot." A very trying time in our history, the days that followed that. I've been to his grave in Arlington National Cemetery, where they have the eternal flame burning all the time. What is your life? We were over at Camp Nathaniel Thanksgiving Day, this past Thursday. And we went by to see Bob Murr's wife. If you have never met this dear lady, Lillian Murr, you have missed a blessing. Lillian has just a few weeks to go until she will be with her Lord. As we went into her home to talk with her a while before we left Thursday afternoon, you know what she's doing right now? She is making picture frames for the nurses at the Hyden Hospital. That's where she goes for her treatments and so forth. She is ready. She's ready. Janetta's mom told me this past week, "I wish the Lord would take me right now." Now, friends, I love that kind of assurance. I appreciate that. You and I need to say, "I am ready to be offered." What is your last? I want to say this. My brother Adam Feltner has been near death a few times as he's been working in the mines. That's one thing that brought him to the Lord. What is your last? It's what we make it. Our key verse this morning is going to be found in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. Turn over there with me if you would. Psalm chapter 90 and the 12th verse. The 90th chapter of Psalms tells us quite a few things about life. And we're going to look at some of these as well as they're in James chapter 4. Psalm 90 and verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. First of all, the Bible tells us that life is like a shadow. 1 Chronicles 29:15, it says, "Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none about it." A shadow doesn't last very long. It's here and gone. In Job chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Our days upon earth are as a shadow." Job 14:2, "He cometh forth like a flower, and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not." You know, as I look at Job 14, I think back to my grade school days. My aunt used to teach me in grade school. And if she read Job 14 one time, she read it about 50 times. That was her favorite chapter in the Bible. And the second verse says, "He cometh forth as a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not." In Psalm 102 and verse 11, it says, "My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass." What is your life? It's like a shadow. It's like a shadow. It's also like a flying shuttle. In Job 7 and verse 6, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." Some of you older ones here today know what a shuttle is. A weaver's shuttle. I never did see one used except in a museum somewhere where they were working on rugs and so forth. That shuttle goes back and forth pretty fast. And friends, our life today is like a shuttle. It's swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And are spent without hope. Time is flying by. Brother Sutton hardly realized today was the last Sunday of November. And we mentioned in our class in there that time is flying. We stayed here at church all night, Friday night. It seemed like it was, how long did it seem like, Tom? Tom said it seemed like about 2 years. You've never lived unless you tried to play ping pong at 3 o'clock in the morning. Time is flying. Seemed like the weeks are 2 days long now to me. Swifter than a weaver's shuttle. The Bible also says in Psalm 90 and verse 9, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." It's like a tale that's told. Fourth, it's like grass. In Psalm 90 and verses 5 and 6, "Thou carest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up, in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withereth." Every one of us are going somewhere. You know, there was a time when we were not. But there will never be a time when we will not be. Did you know that? When God made us, He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And you can't get out of existence. Never. You're never going to get out of existence. We're going to live somewhere forever. And this is why we need to make preparations for heaven. Preparations for eternity. It's like grass. Here in James 4, in verse 14 it says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life?" What is your life? "It is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I was pastor at Hardbury before I came here to Airport Gardens. And one Sunday after church, we were home eating dinner. And the telephone rang. And a little girl up in town had gotten hit by a motorcycle. Brother Drew Martin and I came to the hospital. And as I saw the dad come out of that hospital entrance, his head was almost touching the ground. He was just didn't know what to do with himself. Life is short. I don't know how old this little girl was, 7 or 8 years old maybe. But my friend, life is going to end for every one of us. There are as many short graves in the cemetery as there are long ones. And I'm not saying that to try to scare anybody into being saved. If I could, I would. And it would be real, genuine Christianity, salvation. We're going somewhere, friend. And whether we're ready or not, the Lord is going to call us someday. I don't know when it's going to be. But He's going to call us. Because death is an appointment. And I'm glad that we don't need to worry about death. A Christian who has everything fixed up with the Lord is ready for living or dying. We're like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The psalmist says, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. We're dust. I believe that as much as I'm in God's house this morning. God made man out of the dust of the ground. And he was a lifeless lump of clay until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. I believe you'll find there in Genesis that God made everything out of the dust of the ground, even the birds that fly in the air, all the animals. God made everything out of the dust of the ground, but only man, he said, he became a living soul. God made man to have fellowship with. And one day sin came in and broke that wonderful fellowship. And ever since that time, man has been in need of a Savior. A Savior. Who is Christ the Lord. The one who came and wrapped in swaddling clothes and was laid in a manger. That's the one who came and lived a sinless life. And died in our place, rose again, and soon going to come back. The Bible says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. One cold winter afternoon, one Sunday afternoon, I went to Confluence Baptist Church to speak. They did not have a pastor then. There was only one man present for the service. Brother Ed Huff. I don't know if any of y'all know him. We sang a song or two and had prayer. And some Bible reading. I still remember the song that he and I sang together. Some glad morning. When this life is over, I'll fly away. We're going to fly away someday. And the real you that lives in your house, your physical house here, your tabernacle, Paul said he called it the tabernacle, we're going to move out. The real person is going to move out. And we're going to fly away. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Since we know today that life is short, since life is uncertain, there are some things we need to do. And one of them is found in our key verse today, Psalm 9 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need to pack into every day all that we can. We need to live our life for the Lord wholeheartedly. We need to apply our hearts unto wisdom. The wisdom that is from above. The third chapter of James, the last part of that chapter, mentions it compares wisdom that is earthly, and then it compares wisdom that is heavenly. And it says this, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. We may show one of those films tonight in the evening service that we had Friday night. Super Christian. That verse there says, without hypocrisy. I believe the Lord today would want us to be genuine, real. Not putting on. The fellow who preached at my ordination a few years ago, he said, be yourself. Don't try to copy anybody. God only made one of you. That's all. Be yourself. With God's help. Be a blessing to someone. We need to apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, wisdom and knowledge are different. Wisdom is the ability that God gives us to use the knowledge which He also gives us. We need to live in God's will, since we know that life is short. We need to live in God's will. James 4:15 says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will. If the Lord's will, we'll have a service tonight. We'll be in the Lord's house tonight. God's will is best. You know, there's a lot of difference in knowing God's will and being willing for God's will to be done when we know His will. God's will is best. And if He wants me to go through a valley today, you know, someone wrote a song, thank God for the valley He gave me today. Brother Calvin Trent preached a message here one Sunday morning on valleys can be beautiful. Valleys can be beautiful. If you look back over your life today, as Jack Hiles one time looked back over his life, Jack Hiles is pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, the largest Sunday school in the United States. Every service starts right on schedule. Every door to that church is locked when the service begins. Jack Hiles preaches behind a bulletproof partition. People have threatened his life. But you know what? Jack Hiles said, looking back over my life, all of my valleys were my mountaintops. It's in the valleys that you and I can grow as a Christian. All sunshine makes a desert. So pray and thank God for His will. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. The Holy Spirit today is looking for some people through whom He can work. And He wants to work through your body. Romans 6 says we need to yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He wants our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears, our brain, our everything. We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We need to spend our time wisely. And if you call on the Father who, without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. I like the song that says, Jesus, Savior, pilot me over last tempestuous sea. Our Sunday school lesson today said that we are the light of the world. And Philip Bliss wrote a song that says, let the Lord lights be burning. Send the gleam across the wave, some poor, fainting, struggling seaman. You may rescue, you may save. What is your life? You've no doubt seen on TV a program entitled, This Is Your Life. They have people that this person knew 40 years ago, maybe, to be at that service. What is your life? It's like a vapor. It's here now and may be gone the next minute. What is your life? It's like grass. It's like a shadow. It's a tale that's told. Pass the time. We need to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. Holy, reverential fear of God. We need to love Him as well as to fear Him. Our invitation song this morning is page 217. Just as I am. And this is the way the Lord would have you to come to Him today, just as you are. If you're here and lost, today is the day of salvation. If you're here as a Christian on this last Sunday of November, 1983, why not do whatever God says do? We'll be standing here in front to wait on you. God bless us as we sing, Brother Tom. 217. There was a friend of mine I've known for 20 or 25 years, I guess. He gave me this tract entitled An Astronaut's Flight Through Life. It gives James Irwin's testimony Apollo 15. He was the commander, I believe. And he mentions in this that prayer is a great part of his life. And he says this, "My flight through life has been sustained by my knowledge of Jesus Christ." What is your life? We need to make preparations for heaven. Be ready at a moment's notice to meet the Lord. We need to have our lamps trimmed and burning brightly. God bless as we sing this third stanza, please. Evening services tonight, and our service over at the nursing home too at 2 o'clock. We'll be leaving at 2:15 from the church for that service over there. I'm sure you'll have a blessing if you go with us today. Brother Sutton mentioned J.C. Jackson, a fellow who's if you look at him and hear what words he has to say for the Lord, I'm going to have him give us a testimony today while we're over there. J.C. loves the Lord. And I've told him before that someday he's going to get a brand new body. His body right now doesn't look too good. My friend, someday he's going to shine like a light in the morning. This life's not all of it. Let's look to the Lord in closing prayer. Brother Earl, would you lead us in closing prayer, please? God bless you.